This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne at NPR West.
And I'm Steve Inskeep in Karachi, Pakistan.
And the population there is estimated anywhere from 12 to 18 million and counting. Steve, you've been there all week reporting on the growth of this, one of the world's largest cities. And I might add, introducing us to some of the more memorable characters there in Karachi.
Yeah, they're the people that shape this city, which is violent but also wealthy. We've met a hard-driving mayor. We've met an activist who risked her life. And we've also met newcomers who pay most of their income for two-room houses and a tiny patch of sand to call their own. We've met all of them on what we call the Urban Frontier, our series on the world's changing cities.
And Steve, one thing we've learned from you is that despite all this city's problems, it's attracting a lot of investment.
Yeah, some of which we're going to hear about this morning. The other day we went to Karachi's waterfront, which is beautiful, and we looked at some newly created land. There's a company called Imar, which is from the Persian Gulf city of Dubai. It reclaimed this land to make space for about 45 towers. And here's their managing director for Pakistan.
As you can look out here, we're now starting the excavation for seven of the towers right now. We just built the land, now we're taking it out.
The man's name is Steve McCart. And if he doesn't seem to have much of a South Asian accent, that's because he was born in Texas. So you have an American working for a Persian Gulf company building thousands of condo apartments in Karachi. And he took us to see a model apartment inside the Imar sales building here.
You're going to enter Southern California right now. We've learned that the market in this part of the world absolutely loves California. As a matter of fact, all these products actually came from California and shipped over.
Well, this is quite an apartment. So it's a two-bedroom apartment that you've created here? You've got the kitchen table.
This is
one-bedroom apartment.
And where are you in the world? You don't know necessarily. Is this Karachi specific? No, not at all.
Imar's research shows this is what affluent Pakistanis want. And whatever its problems, the city has plenty of affluent home buyers. They range from contractors to stockbrokers, and plenty of other people, from soldiers to politicians to various kinds of traders, have sources of income they never declare.
Okay. We're going to go out from the sales center. We're going to get in the cars and go onto the site.
Okay.
There's absolutely nothing like this going on in the U.S., and if you did, it would take 15 years to approve it. So this is, you know, you're sort of the excitement of going in and being able to develop and create from a blank slate, really something special.
And Renee, Steve McCart took us across that blank slate, this 100 and more acres of brand new land. Pakistan's military only provided Imar with beachfront, and that's all they said they needed. Imar began reclaiming land, pouring rock and sand into the ocean to create all these acres. And the company seized its opportunity as part of a $3 billion investment in Pakistan.
Some people might say, what are you talking about, doing business in this place that they can't even keep the electricity on, they have no clean water, they have horrible violence? I mean, how do you deal with those issues?
Well, you got to start somewhere. You know, you wish you had a power grid that was constant. You wish that you didn't drink bottled water. But the more you build these markets into an international market, the more those things will go away because they have the resources to bring in the infrastructure that works.
Okay, a real estate executive there in Karachi giving you, Steve, a tour of a new development there. You said something about Pakistan's military providing beachfront. What does the military have to do with that?
Well, the military owns a lot of the best real estate in Karachi, including that beachfront. And what happens is the military has land reserved for it. Retiring military officers get pieces of that land, which they can use to build a house or to sell instantly at a huge profit and become mini real estate tycoons. In fact, Imar is building on a part of the city that is called Defense, because it is military land. It's a peninsula that keeps getting longer and longer because they keep adding more land to it. It's very similar to what was done years ago in Lower Manhattan in New York City. Now, the best way to get a look at this land is by boat. The boat was called the Al Jungli, which translates as wild man. The wild man in question is the owner of the boat, Tariq Alexander Kesa, who is a successful architect. We came also with a contractor friend of his, Adnan Asdar, who's been involved with a number of Karachi's signature buildings. And something became clear to us as we floated past the military's developments, high skyscrapers, as well as an all-night golf course with stadium lights.
There's been so much focus on whether Pervez Musharraf stays or goes as president. Is it fair to say that the military is so involved in business and has so much power in business that it almost doesn't matter whether a general or ex-general is in charge of the country?
Absolutely, it doesn't matter at all.
These developments are big, we should say. They're impressive. They include a desalination plant to turn seawater into drinking water for this growing city. They include a lot of upscale apartments, and there's a lot of vacant land still to go. But Tariq did not always like what he saw there.
Development is good, okay, but it has to be done sensitively.
And he doesn't necessarily think, as an architect, that all of Karachi's developments have been that sensitive.
But Steve, aren't these people who've profited from Pakistan's system?
Yeah, but they'd like to improve it, and they're thinking about the quality of life in their city and ways to make it better rather than just richer. Now, Renee, when we got back ashore, Adnan Asdar led the way to his car and then led the way to dinner with him and his family in a cool, elegant house in town. They've got these big living room windows, and outside you see these lovely little reflecting pools. It's a gorgeous house. He's married to a successful architect, and just before dinner was served, they sat together on the couch to talk.
My name is Mehboob Khan, and I was born in Karachi, and I live in Karachi, and I work in Karachi.
Which, Renee, is where she just finished a difficult day, dealing with the kind of hotels and shopping malls that keep her firm afloat, in fact, make her a lot of money, but they're not that close to her heart.
I hope none of my clients will ever get to hear this. But unfortunately, the bottom line is the money. You know, how much they can earn and what will sell. And it's to the last cent that they count their monies. You know, I think this capitalistic fever generates out of your country, you know.
America, you mean?
Yeah, and that's where it started. And we've all become part of that global hunger for money.
Hey, we're in the dark.
Yeah.
The power just went out. That's fine. We can continue our conversation. It's radio.
Kids, bring the generator out. Go.
We don't have a generator.
When you say bring the generator, they're going to bring a flashlight or a candle.
Yes. That's it. That's the running joke.
My wife in particular, she doesn't want a generator in this house because we feel that I think the rest of the city is suffering, and the kids and everybody should learn how to be able to.
I'll tell you one thing, Steve. You've met us at a point where we want to change directions, okay? I love my work. I love my family. I love my husband. I love my country. I love my city, okay? But right now, I wanted to change directions for the next 20 years of my life, and hopefully God will give me next 20 years to do it.
What they want to do, Renee, is reorient their architecture and construction firms. And over the coming years, they both plan to spend more time designing and building low-income housing. They want to build houses that are cheap enough for almost anybody in Karachi to afford, but pleasant enough that people will want to live there.
And Steve, that's a noble idea, but also one that, given the size of Karachi's population, probably could be quite a profitable life's work.
They say it could be profitable. My question to them was, look, we've just been out, and we've heard in this program yesterday about people who can only pay $5,000 for a house. And I said, can you really give them a nice house for a price they can afford and make money at it? And they said, yes, with creative architecture and with the right people involved, they believe they can.
Morning Edition's Steve Inskeep has reported all week from Karachi, Pakistan, and looking forward to having you back next week, Steve.
Me too.
All our reports are available at npr.org. The reporting team for our first installment of The Urban Frontier included Tracy Wall and Junaid Boudahar Khan.